Matthew 16, verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would please, dear God, help this preacher as I preach tonight. Lord, I want to say the things you'd want me to say. And Lord, I do feel like this is just an important, timely message, Lord. And I pray that you'd help Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Lord, to reaffirm, recommit ourselves, dear God, to a path that we chose here many, many, many years ago. And Lord, I pray, dear God, please, for a upcoming generation that will embrace these Bible principles and these Bible truths, not just know them in their head, but Lord, that they would give their heart to them, their lives to them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We're commanded in the Great Commission to do three things. First of all, we need to get the gospel to lost people so that they can be saved. And so we're to preach the gospel and see folks saved. And then the Bible says that we're to then teach them and encourage them to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And of course, that's baptism by immersion. If it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, put them underneath the water, and bring them back up as a way that they can publicly proclaim that they're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, can I say this? That's not the end of anything. That's just the beginning of something. Because the third responsibility we have is to disciple then folks to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be taught his words and his ways so that they will begin a lifelong pursuit of Christ-likeness. You see, I don't want to just see people saved and I just don't want to see them baptized. I want to see them become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is the Great Commission in its total, in all three points, and this is what we need to make sure that we reaffirm here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church on a regular basis. That means that we need to make a great effort to get the gospel out and try to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That means that we need to be very clear in teaching them the importance of baptism and what that is and what it signifies. And folks, listen to me, it is the blood. It is the blood that saves from sin. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's going to be nobody walking around heaven bragging about how you earned your way there. If you got there, if you get there, it's going to be through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, not of yourself, lest any man should boast. And so we're clear on those things. We want to make sure that we're preaching a biblical gospel. We want to ensure and make sure that we're teaching people biblically the importance of following the Lord and believers' baptism, that public profession, public proclamation of their association with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we want to begin, as I said, to teach them. And by the way, that's what Sunday school class is all about. And that's what morning service is about. And that's what on Sunday night, that's what it's about. And a master's club, that's what it's about. Wednesday night Bible study, that's what it's about. By the way, I say this often, I want to remind our church, Blessed Hope Baptist School is the premier discipleship program for our young people. To me, it's a discipleship program. It's something that'll help to bring them along and get them ready to serve the Lord for the rest of their life. And that's the intent of these things, and that's the goal that we have. Now, folks, having said that, I want to speak on this subject tonight, raising young people with a heart to serve the Lord. Raising young people with a heart to serve the Lord. This is something that we need every home at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to commit themselves to. This is something that we need every ministry at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to work towards and try to come alongside the parents that are encouraging this and helping in that, reaffirming the things that they're being taught in the home. We want our young people, I'll say this undeniably with no apology, we want our young people to be disciples so that when they become adults, and long before they become adults, they are serving the Lord, not for just a small amount of time, but for the rest of their life. They spend their life serving the Lord. And if we're not doing, if that's not the goal, please tell me what the goal is, all right? And so that's what we need to do, and this is what we need to commit ourselves to. The goals of Blessed Hope Baptist Church isn't going to change, all right? Now, folks, listen. We are here to produce disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're here to do. So if we are going to do that, let's go to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because when he's talking to his disciples about being a disciple, he says some very important things here. Now, parents, it's important that you hear this because these things must be taught to your children in the home. By the way, everybody that's involved in children's ministries at Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs to hear this because we need to reaffirm these things and make sure that we're reaffirming. I'm talking about they ought to hear these things on the bus. I'm talking about they ought to hear these things in Sunday school. I'm talking about they ought to hear these things in primary church and junior church and master's clubs. Listen, we're not going to all these different ministries and blowing different trumpets that are giving uncertain sounds. We all ought to be on the same page, using the same music, blowing the trumpet and saying the same things. And if we'll do that consistently in the home and in the ministries of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, then you know what? You're going to continue to see young people that grow up and love God and give their life to serve God, some of them in full-time Christian service, some of them plugging right into the ministries here in the home church, carrying this thing forward. But we have got to be consistent in what we teach and what we do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Jesus has this conversation with his disciples, and he says some things. In verse number 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, in other words, if you're going to become one of my disciples, then there's certain things that I am going to require. Now, folks, these are not suggestions. These are not take it or leave it. These are not, well, Lord, I'm going to be a disciple, but I'm going to do these two and leave off this three. He says, if you're going to come after me, then you need to do these three things. Let me say this. People who do not wish to do these three things, they soon stop coming after him. They soon stop following him. Okay, because the world will tell you that everything that Jesus is about to suggest to you is the marks, I'm going to say it, of a cult. All right. Now, you're going to have to look at these things and decide whether or not following the clear instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ makes you a member of a cult or not. But I'm a little tired of these cheap shots. Okay. We are basing what we do on the Bible and by what Jesus said. And I can't, in good conscience, stand up here and say, now, folks, you can be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to eliminate the things that Jesus said are mandatory for you to be a disciple. And can I say this? That is exactly what a lot of Christians are looking for. They want to find some place that they can go and be considered a good Christian and yet deny the very precepts and principles of discipleship. And so every one of you young people are going to have to make a decision sooner or later. And I want to say this, a big, huge thank you to the families in this church that still believe in old-time religion, still believe that the Bible trumps anything that the culture has to say about anything, and are plugged into this ministry because, listen, not to follow a man, but to follow the precepts and principles of the Word of God. And that's all we've ever asked here. All right? So what are these, preacher? What is it that we have to transfer to this next generation if we're going to have young people that will grow up and qualify to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's four things that are listed in these verses. Number one, you must deny yourself. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, you have to understand, in this culture, that's almost unheard of. That teaching is unheard of. The idea that you would want to do something or want to say something and that you would choose not to for the benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ and the advancement of his kingdom is almost unheard of. I mean, we are being told, and by the way, this is going to feed into a little bit of what we're teaching on the family. Young parents, you are being told that, you know what, you are going to destroy your children if you tell them, here it is, let me just say it this way, if you use the word no, you are going to damage their psyche. All right. I mean, you know what? Tabitha and AJ was flying out here from California to visit us. They were blessed to get on an airplane with a mother that was using progressive methods in the rearing of her little brat. I mean, her little child. This little 3 or 4 year old, I can't remember, decides in the middle of the airplane ride that she is going to throw the tantrums of all tantrums. And mom sits and reads a book. And mom looks at her every once in a while and says, are you almost finished? Okay, well, you let me know when you're finished. She didn't decide to finish for an hour. And she is screaming and kicking the back of the seat and carrying on and making everybody miserable around her. But see, she's fallen into, listen, probably not a bad person. She's been lied to. She's been bought into a humanistic philosophy that you cannot allow, you cannot insist that a child denies himself or herself of anything, any self-expression. Well, you know what she's doing, whether she knows it or not? She's rearing that child to be the type of person that can never and will never be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, not everything you want to do, you ought to do. Good night. I mean, folks, you live in the same fleshly body I do. Are you kidding me? We have the same fallen natures. Not everything you want to say, should you say. By the way, not everything that your body wants, should it have. Listen, it's one thing, young people, for you to be in a good home where your parents are telling you no, but it is a great mark of maturity when you start telling yourself no. Well, I'm tired of mom and dad telling me no all the time. Then why don't you grow up and tell yourself no? Why don't you have enough maturity to say to your flesh no, and to your sin nature no, and to your tongue no? And you know what? When you start doing that, mom and dad, they seldom have to tell you no. And so the way to get freedom is not to rebel against your parents and their biblical rules. The way to get freedom is to start putting some biblical rules in place for yourself and having the maturity to rule your own spirit. The Bible says if you can rule your own spirit, you're mightier than someone who can take a city. And you know what? The biggest battle you'll ever fight is with yourself. But you can win it with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Now stay with me here. Listen, young people, it's right for your mom and dad to look at you and say, no, I know you want to do that, but you can't. They're teaching you self-denial. I know you want to go there, but you can't. And let me tell you why you can't. And you need to listen to not only what they say, but parents, let me say this. The Bible says, he that hath understanding is of an excellent spirit. And I'm all for young people, and especially those of you 12 and under. You know what? If your mom and dad say no, they don't need to give you any explanation for it. But it is wise, parents, for us as we begin to develop young adults in our home to make sure that we don't just teach them no and yes, but to teach them the whys behind what they do. If they have an understanding, a biblical understanding of why, then their spirit has a better chance to be an excellent spirit. So don't just at some point, well, no ought to be good enough. I get that. But at some point, if you just tell them no and yes and yes and no because I said so, the basis of their belief system will be because mom and dad said no. And they have to have something deeper than that. And so at some point you have to say, all right, you're of an age where I'm not going to just tell you why you can't. I'm going to begin to show you why you should tell yourself next time that you can't without even asking me, so that you can understand what the Bible says about these things. Now, self-denial is important. Self-denial is important. Number two, let's look at this. And take up his cross. Now, folks, listen to me. A cross is not an easy thing to bear. You know what? Young people have to be raised in such a way where they're willing to embrace difficult things and know how to handle difficult things. Okay? See, here's what the Lord's saying. Here's a cross. Instead of trying to figure out a way around it, or instead of trying to get somebody else to pick it up, you've got to learn to go over and see something that's difficult and hard to bear and pick it up and put it on your shoulders and bear it. Okay? Now, young people, if you get up into your early, you know, you get up 17, 18, 19, and you face the first real life crisis, I mean the hardest thing you've ever faced in your life, and a lot of times those things come when you're 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, it'll come in that stretch somewhere. You know what? You ought to already be trained not to run from it, not to get mad at God about it, but just to pick it up and carry it. Every adult in this room, young people, I promise you this is true. Every adult in this room that served the Lord for any amount of time, you can't see it, but they carry a cross. There's something that's come into their life at some point. And you know what, folks? Aren't you glad when you can pray? And sometimes we do, and sometimes God does. And you have to bear a burden, and sometimes you say, Lord, you know, well, if you could just take this burden away. And sometimes God takes, he has us carry it for a while, and then he lifts the burden. But there's a difference between a cross and a burden. Sometimes God just says, that's your cross. I'm not going to take it from you. If you're going to be my disciple, you're going to be my disciple, even though at times I ask you to carry difficult things. Now again, folks, why are we lacking disciples in this day and age? And I'm not talking about just here in Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm talking about across the country, around the world. Because people have the mentality of, well, I'll serve the Lord as long as the Lord is good to me and as long as everything goes well and as long as there's not too many difficulties or it doesn't get too hard. And guess what? That's not realistic about life, whether or not you serve the Lord or not. Because listen, you're not going to escape the burdens of life. And you're not going to escape certain crosses. But you know what? There's some things that I say, Lord, I don't want to bear that cross. And I don't want to carry that cross. And Lord, I'd like you to take away that cross. And sometimes God says, that's your cross to bear. And I want you to carry it. And I don't want you to whine and murmur about it and have a martyr's attitude. I want you to carry it and still have a thankful heart and a praise on your lips and a bounce on your step and convince everybody around you that you've got a God that's big enough to help you carry a cross. Okay, your cross isn't my cross and my cross isn't your cross. But I promise you all, we all carry crosses. Now, young people, at some point in your life, and sometimes it comes very young in a person's life. I've watched elementary kids sometimes have to carry something that I think they shouldn't have to face that. They shouldn't have to deal with that. I've watched young people face things. I mean, folks, listen, one of the things that I say every year, I bring our seniors in every year at the beginning of the school year, and I say, I don't know what it is, but something is going to happen this school year that's going to be the hardest thing you've ever faced because God knows how close to the finish line you are. And you're going to define who you are, maybe forever, based on how you handle it. I've said that year after year after year after year after year. And by the way, the devil does usually come after young people sometime in their senior year. Now listen, you're going to face it. So what are you going to do when you face it? Okay, when it comes, what are you going to do? Well, there's my reason. There's my lifelong excuse for not following Jesus because God's not been good to me. God's been good to every one of us. Unless you're burning in hell right now, God's been good to you. And by the way, we all carry some crosses. We all carry some crosses. And you know what? That's no excuse not to be a disciple. Listen, if I'm going to learn to be a disciple, if we're going to raise kids that's going to serve the Lord, they got to learn to deny themselves. Okay? And they've got to learn to handle and carry some difficult and hard things. And that's why it's a good idea, parents, as you're raising your children, to challenge them with some things and give them some jobs and give them some requirements and teach them to do the difficult things. with a right spirit and a right attitude, because what you're doing, whether you realize it or not, is you're preparing them for a cross. Okay, we've sheltered them. We've spoiled them. Anything they cry about or whine about that they don't want to do, we just take it away from them. We raise them in an unrealistic bubble. And we protect them for how many years? And then 18, 19, they go out and they face their first real difficult thing and they disintegrate. They disintegrate. And folks, listen to me. If we're going to raise young people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we're going to need to give them some difficult things that are hard to do to challenge them so that they can find out that they've got a God that's big enough to help them to do the hard things. Don't let your kids go home and whine about the curriculum or whine about the teachers or whine about the assignments. Okay? Let's not turn Master's Club into a trophy of participation. You know how you earn a badge? You earn it. Okay, you don't get it because somebody else got it. Okay, you don't get it because, you know, we got to be fair to everybody. Yeah, I want to be fair to everybody. Everybody that earns it gets it. Everyone who doesn't earn it doesn't get it. That's called being fair to everybody. All right, because we're preparing them for something called real life. Real life. Now that means, folks, listen to me. We got to all get on the same page on this. All right. Okay, we're raising a soft generation. We're raising a soft generation. It's not true of all of the young men. It's not true of all the young ladies in this room. Some of you parents are doing a spectacular job. But I'm telling you, overall, we're raising a soft generation. Okay, stop letting them whine. Stop, mamas, look at me. If you got teenage boys and teenage girls and they know they can come to you and whine about anything and you're going to just, I mean, next thing, how dare they, my little baby. You are destroying that kid. You are setting that kid up for failure and you eliminate the possibility that he or she will ever be a disciple of the Lord. I said you did it. You took him out of consideration. Okay, let them cry. Let them cry how hard it is. And then when they get done, say, are you done? Yeah. All right, guess what? Do the hard thing. Amen. Do the hard thing. Stop making excuses for them. I took Brother J.R. McDonald out to eat. Brother J.R. McDonald and his wife, Jenny, we support them. The Calvary Boys Home in Eufaula. And they were over on the other side of the state ministering on last Sunday. He texts me, hey, we are over here in Newcastle. And he said, wanted to let you know. And I said, when are you leaving? Are you flying out Monday? And he said, no, we're driving through. I said, well, you got to come to 70 if you're going to Oklahoma. Let me buy you breakfast. So me and my wife went over there. He was telling us about their daughter, Julie, who got a speeding ticket. Now, I won't tell you the whole story, but I would love to tell you every detail of it because I never pass up an opportunity to irritate their daughter, Julie. In fact, I'm going to make sure we send this sermon out to Oklahoma. So Julie, the dangerous speedster who shouldn't even have a license, will hear these things. And she got a speeding ticket, and she was terrified to tell her dad. Now, she's probably what? I mean, is she 19? 18, 19, something like that. She's terrified to tell her dad. And so she tells her mom. And her mom says, well, that's good. Now go tell your dad. So she tells her dad, Dad, I got a speeding ticket. You what? I got a speeding ticket. This is what she said. By the way, listen to human nature. And by the way, I've had fun with, but this is a good kid. But listen to human nature. She said, the policeman said I was going 38 miles an hour. And you know what her dad said immediately? If that's what he said you were doing, then that's what you were doing. Yes, how about you, Mama? Is that settling okay with you? Amen. How about you, Daddy? Is that settling all right with you? He said, don't tell me the policeman said you were going 38. Those things they use, pretty high tech. But I thought it was a 35 and I was in a 25. So this reckless young lady was blaring away, blazing down the road at 38 miles an hour in a 25 mile per hour speed limit. And she said, I thought, and he said, well, there are signs on the side of the road. You don't do the speed limit you think, you do the speed limit that's posted. And he's telling me this story. And you know what I want? I want him to teach a class on child rearing. Because what that man just did, every parent, you better learn to do it. Okay, well, the stinking speed traps and all those police are after are their money. And by the way, you listen to me. That's why, I'm not exaggerating this next statement. That's why people are shooting policemen today. Because parents who won't stand by authority and for authority. You got a bunch of thugs out there that are disobeying the law, and then a policeman does what policemen are supposed to do, but the whole community riots, and I love the fact that they burn their own neighborhoods. That's brilliant. Brilliant. I don't like what they did. I'm going to go burn the Piggly Wiggly next door. And well, tomorrow there's not going to be a Piggly Wiggly for you to go shopping. What are you doing? How many know what a Piggly Wiggly is? How many never heard of a Piggly Wiggly? It's kind of a weird Wisconsin IGA. Okay, that's what it is. So, Piggly Wiggly. Now, watch this. What I'm saying is this. Guess what? There's tough things in life. There's hard things in life. Okay, listen to me. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Stop murmuring. Yeah, but things, that wasn't fair. Welcome to real life. Real life is not fair. A lot of times, it's not fair. Okay, you're just going to quit every time something happens. That's you, by the way, you don't know if it's fair or not most of the time. You don't know if it's fair or not. We've had to put the hammer on a couple of the young people in our Christian school. And by the way, not bad kids, but kids that just needed to be woke up a little bit. So what do I hear coming back? Well, that wasn't fair. They shouldn't have expelled them. That wasn't fair. They don't even know the facts. You don't know whether it's fair or not. And when you let your little princess come home and start saying that kind of thing, and not only not correct it, but start joining in it, you are eliminating any chance of your children serving God. Any chance of it. You just took them out of the discipleship pool of consideration. Okay, because if anything is hard, then what we do is we run and we protect, you know, little Missy. We make excuses. Now, folks, listen to me. I can't raise your children for you. You've got to be on the front lines, and you need to do this, and you need to be consistent, and you need to raise up young people that have the raw material where they can be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Self-denial, embracing the difficult. Watch this. He says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You have to raise young people that are willing to follow. Willing to follow. If they won't follow you, they won't follow Jesus. If they rebel against the daddy in their home, then they're going to rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ. If they're allowed to rebel against mommy, then you know what? What they're saying is, I don't follow. Rebellion eliminates, a spirit of rebellion eliminates a young person from being considered by God or called into any type of service, trusted with any type of service. You know what, folks, listen to me. The prerequisite of being a great leader is first being a great follower. If you can't be a great follower, you will never be a great leader. You know what this whole thing's about? It's not, hey, Jesus, follow me as I go my own way and sprinkle blessings on me, please. Because that's my expectations of you. I should be allowed to go out and do what I want, the way I want, how I want. And I'm telling you what, God, you have an obligation to just follow me and sprinkle on the blessings. And that is such an unbiblical, anti-Christ view of the Christian life. It's ridiculous. Okay, let me say it to all of us. We are to follow the Lord. We are to follow His word. If I don't agree with that book, you know what? Too bad. This book is right. I'm wrong. Get in line, Jerry Ross. Get in line. Whether I like it, whether I don't like it. There's a lot of things that the Lord commands that, to be honest with you, I don't even understand. But I think that God's a little smarter than me. And I don't have to understand everything. I just need to have and learn a spirit of obedience. Children, I've said this often. I mean, scour the pages of the Bible. I'm not saying there aren't some general precepts and principles, but I can only find one direct command that's given to children. I mean, all you've got to do from 1 to 12 years of age is master one command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, why in the world would God only bring one command to a child? Because if in the first 12 years of his life, he can master that with the right spirit, to obey mom and dad, to do it willingly and do it cheerfully with a correct spirit, he is set up to be sought out by the Lord and chosen for something special in this matter of service, of serving God. Because if you can't follow and obey your mom and dad that love you more than any other human being on this earth, how in the world are you going to follow the Lord one of these days? So you got to learn to follow. Okay, some of you young people, and listen to me, I understand that God gives certain young people a little more raw materials in this matter of leadership, probably because what he's preparing you for is something that's going to involve some leadership. But some of you that have that and are blessed by that a little bit, you need to rein that back until it's time to be the leader. Okay? You don't need to always be at the front of the line. I mean, I've watched young people. I mean young people in our church, not bus kids. I mean, I'm telling you what, I've watched a couple of girls almost kill each other trying to get to the line first and be number one first. And I mean, it's never ending in their life. Parents, you better get a hold of that. You better get a hold of that. Okay, why don't you learn to follow? Why don't you learn the spirit of graciousness? Okay, I mean, come on, you folks see it. Good night. I went to an elementary school, public school, but when they said line up for the water fountain, I've seen kids almost kill each other for one more space in line. Okay, how about that? I saw something, by the way, I don't want you to misunderstand this, but I saw something really neat. Remember Christmas Sunday? I went down there and took all those kids. Down there, we had a time down there, and we had games down there, and we decided at the very end of it, after we did the Christmas story, and we did gave them the treats. I said, look, we got time for one quick game. So we played something that, you know, I love old-fashioned games. So I said, real quick, we're going to play musical chairs. Come on, adults, you know in your heart you want to play. You want to right now. You want to. So we got a certain amount of chairs, and we got these kids. And, man, I'm all for winning, man. When you're playing a game, win, okay? But it got down to about four chairs, and there was two boys and two girls. No, three boys and two girls and four chairs. And they were going around, and of course, you know, you want to make sure you stay, you go real slow when you're in front of the chair, hoping the music, and then, you know, you get over to in front of, you know, I mean, there's strategy involved here. It's important. You got to know how to do this. And one of the young men, as soon as the music stopped, there was a young lady and him, and they were right by the chair. And, you know, you can see this kid, he wants to win. But he'd been taught something. And his training overtook his competition. He started to knock this girl out of the way and take that chair, and all of a sudden he stopped, he stepped back, and he went like that. He went like that. And he walked over and stood with the losers. And the winner's got a little bag of something, just a little bag of, I mean, you know, a little bag of treats, hardly, just a little bag of treats. But when that boy walked out the back door with his daddy, I said, hey, come here, I want to talk to you about your son a minute. And the dad's like, I said, let me tell you one of the coolest things I've ever seen. And me and the dad and the boy, we relived this. Preacher opens his wallet and hands the kid $10. $10. You know why? Because I want to teach that boy something. You know what? You're going to have opportunities where it would be to your benefit to break something. Break up. Listen, you know what? Somebody's raising that young man to be a gentleman, and whether you're playing musical chairs or not, you got to be a gentleman. Well, that ain't how I am. I know. And how many times has the Lord just passed you up? How many things does he want you to do and could use you to do? But you know what? You're more about the top of the podium and making sure everybody sees that you won than you are how it's affecting everybody around you. Because folks, listen to me. You know what winning is? Let me help some of you that are so highly competitive. Jesus carried a cross up Golgotha's hill and laid his hands on a cross and let them run nails and spikes through his hands and feet. Lift him up, drop that cross in a hole, disconnect out of joint every bone of his body, and for the next several hours, lifted himself up in agony to get every breath until he gave up the ghost. And most in this humanistic competitive world would say he lost. But he didn't. And by the way, if you want to call that a loss, if he did lose, he lost so I could win. All right? Are you getting that? And so sometimes I'll lose if somebody can win. And again, some of you that are just so baptized in this public school mentality of sports and competition need to hear what I just said there. Because the Christian life isn't always about winning. Sometimes it's about losing so somebody else can win. And by the way, isn't that what that whole deny yourself is? Young people, you know why I lose sleep? So that you can win. Okay. You know why I lose a lot of my time that could be used on a lot of things that I'd like to do? So you can win. And if that's losing, then it's all right. And that's the Christian life. Now let me get down to it and then I'll finish things up. The last one, number four, watch this. Verse 25, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So we have to raise young people that are willing to deny themselves, embrace and tackle difficult things, be submissive and obedient in fellowship, and number three, the willingness to lose your life in a cause bigger than yourself. Now I want you to look up here and I want to see if I can have your hearts for a minute. I mean, we're working at it. Anybody says we're not working at it, they haven't been paying attention. I mean, we take them from the nursery and we're working at it. We take them up through the system, I'm working at it. I'm trying to get them to believe something. I'm trying to convince them of something. Preacher, what do you do for the 18 years we have them in the system here? I'm trying to convince them of something. Okay, because here's every 16, 17, 18-year-old. All right, God's given me this life. And man, I would like to do this, and 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 this looks fun, and I really don't like to do this, and like to do this, and a lot of that stuff I've been made to do for 18 years. So now I've got this life. Now, I can do two things with it, one of two things with it. Stay right here with me. Stay right here with me, okay? I can keep it for me. Okay? I can break my mom and dad's heart. I can go home and look at them and say, I'm not obeying your rules anymore. And I'm doing my own thing. And I just have a different opinion about something. Okay? You know, I'm going to do what I want to do with this life of mine. Find them in 10 years. Listen to me. They're lost. No, they are lost. No, they're lost. So what's going on? So did you get to finish this? I know, well, it just didn't work out. Yeah, what about this? Well, so what are you? I'm just... Okay, see, you young people think I've been 55 for 55 years. I was not born 55 years of age. I'm a teenager at Blessed Old Baptist Church like you are, and I've got the same choices and the same free will, and I struggle like everybody else did, and I'm like, okay, this thing called my life, God wants it. Not part of it. He wants all of it, everything. He wants it. He wants me to lose it and put it into his hands. Now, I've got to make a choice. I'm either going to keep my life and do what I want to do and live like they did in the book of Judges. Every man does right in their own eyes and justify what I want to justify and criticize what I... And just become that. And they always are lost. They're lost. Find them 20 years from then. You know what? They're lost. What do you mean by lost? I'm not saying that they don't have a job. I'm not saying that they... I'm saying there has never been in their life ever a purpose bigger than them. So they spend the rest of their life trying to make them happy. And they're lost. Because everything they try to go out in the world and do that's going to somehow do that doesn't. And then you find a handful of kids that sat where you guys sat and went to the Christian school you guys went to, went to the youth group you went to and heard the preaching you did. And they got up at a certain age and they're like, all the same feelings, all the same emotions. I'm going to believe something. It goes against my flesh. It goes against my selfishness. It goes against... But I'm going to believe something. I'm just going to believe that if I take this thing called my life and I give it to God and I lose it, I mean, short term, it looks like I've lost it. I've thrown it away. I'm just going to give it to him. But there's going to be a day where I'm going to find something that I couldn't even imagine. Find them in 5 years. Find them in 10 years. Brother Levi, they're not lost. They're not lost. They're the ones that come up and say, preacher, let me tell you what God's done this year. Hey, I got to share another miracle with you. I mean, they're the ones that, good night. There's days, I'm so excited to be able to tell you this. There's days your preacher don't get much of anything done. I know that sounds terrible because the phone's ringing. And it's one of our kids, sometimes away from here, sometimes here, saying, preacher, I just got to tell you something, man, it happened. And they're even texting me now. I'm telling you what, next thing you know, I'm going to take the mark of the beast. I mean, I don't know where I'm going with this stuff. But they're not texting. I mean, 20 years, 25 years from now, they're still trying to make good bad so that they can feel good about their bad. They're still at it. And the ones that went, okay, God. I mean, Lord, I only get one of these, right? I mean, I only get one. I'm going to trust you. I am going to trust you. You got all of it. Amen. And God looks down from heaven and he says to his son, did you see that? They can be my disciple. They can be my disciple. Woo! What do you think about that, Amelia? That sounds like a good deal. That sounds like a good deal. I hope it does. I can't decide for you. I already decided for me. I can't decide for you. I can't decide for you. I can't decide for you. Right now, your dad's deciding for you. I can't decide for anybody but Jerry Ross. But I'm going to tell you this, the devil's a liar. And so are all the people that are following the devil. Who want to talk about the pleasures of sin for a season, but they don't, listen, they aren't decent enough or honest enough to talk about what life's like when the lights go out at night. When it's just them and God. But you got to decide. But you got to decide. What we need, parents, is everybody on board. Sunday school teachers, we need you on board. Everybody that works and touches our young people, we need you talking about the same thing, all being on the same page. We are here to win people to Christ, baptize them, and say, let me teach you what you need to become so that you can be a disciple. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Raising young people with a heart to serve the Lord. Young people, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me say this. Your parents can be trying, and you've got a church that tries, and you've got a preacher that tries hard. Everybody in your life can be telling you to do the right thing, but you still got to decide. When a young person chooses wrong, I don't throw rocks at their mom, and I don't throw rocks at their dad. Listen to me. I know young people that are serving God that were raised in drunkards' homes. How about that? If you choose not to serve God, it's not your mom's fault, your dad's fault, your brother's fault, your sister's fault, your youth pastor, your preacher, anybody else you want to blame. You have the choice. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with your life? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd, Lord, sweetly meet with us during this invitation time. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that real business is done and transacted between your people and their God. Lord, I want more than anything to be a disciple. I don't want to do anything that would disqualify me from being a disciple. I don't want to have an attitude or an outlook that would cause you to hesitate in trusting me as one of your disciples. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to make that concrete decision tonight. I'm talking about drive a stake. I'm talking about once and for all. I'm talking about I'm not going back and visiting this ever again. This is done. This is final. Forever, Lord, forever, Lord. I am putting myself on the path of self-denial. I'm putting myself on the path of, Lord, whatever the cross says, I won't complain. I'll serve. I'll follow. No more rebellion. No more my way. And that ultimate decision of taking the Lord a life and handing it by faith to their Father. So that we can still continue at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to train disciples. We pray these things in Jesus' name.